Bancroft had craftily paired Miss Kavanagh with him, after noting Christopher's interest. Her mother seemed delighted by this, but the lady appeared a bit puzzled by his attention. It soon became clear to him how very different she was from the other ladies present. How competitive! The other ladies used the opportunity of holding their bow to show off their trim figure and played with little seriousness. Not Miss Kavanagh. Her concentration to the game and her determination to win was remarked upon, and not favourably. It seemed everyone was of a mind to think she should let him win. Thwack! Her arrow hit the target, which sat a remarkable 100 yards, dead centre. A hush fell over the gathering, and admiration rushed through him. The Baroness appeared unduly anxious, and it occurred to him she also believed her daughter should allow him to win. Miss Kavanagh strolled toward the target, and acting with the impulse, he fell into step beside her.
"Do you not know dukes should always win?" he murmured.
She shot him a side-eye glance, and then back at the small gathering, which avidly watched their interactions. "Do you want me to allow you to win, Your Grace?"
"Would you?"
She grinned, and the prettiness of it made his heart lurch. "No, but it is evident everyone expects me to allow you to win."
"And you take delight in denying their expectations?"
She laughed and then fell silent for a minute. They reached the target, and she plucked the arrow from its centre and handed it to him. "Your turn," she murmured, her eyes dancing with mirth. With a smile, he turned to the next target in their line, knocked his bow, and let loose his arrow. Of course, he was not as precise as Miss Kavanagh, and with a sweet chortle his mother would no doubt think vulgar, she made it known she had won.
"I demand a rematch."
"On what grounds?"
"I was unfairly distracted."
A smile quivered at the corners of her mouth.
"By what?"
"By you, Miss Kavanagh. Your crooked, endearing smile, your scent, the way you tuck your hair behind your ear, and the unfettered way in which you laugh."
Her face flushed a delicate, rosy hue, and her eyes lit with amusement and something soft. He wanted to explore that softness more than he wanted his next breath.
"Do not blame the weakness of your play on my crooked smile."
Then she headed back toward their party, as if afraid of how intimate their conversation had grown. He hurried to fall in step with her.
"Does my frankness make you uncomfortable?" he asked gently.
"No."
She turned her head, looking up into his face with pleading eyes.
"It makes me hunger, and it is that reaction which I find alarming."
His mouth went dry at the echo of need in her voice. Thank God it is mutual.